And hello, it is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, we are very blessed. I've known this name for such a long time, and it's really exciting now to actually get an opportunity to meet a face and the person that goes with the name, which is Dr. Georgina Cannon. So welcome, Georgina.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. This is delicious.
Perfect. So usually what happens is I start off by talking about our journey because everybody sort of gets a relation point of, you know, where they are, where they're going, mm-hmm. by through listening to other people's journeys. So I would love to hear kind of what started you, because you've done a lot of stuff, and
you've
got a great school,
and
you're doing a lot of great work. So how did you get started? Because I think you've been in this field for a pretty long time.
Nearly 12 years now.
Great.
And before that, I don't know if you can tell, but I sort of grew up in England.
Oh, yes, I can tell that.
And I started off in England as a journalist. So I was working on a magazine called Woman's Own. And then from there, I went to another magazine called Every Woman. And then I married an old friend, which was always a mistake to do, but we married. And we came to Toronto. And but growing up, I'd always been involved and aware that we were more than the sum of our parts. You know, growing up in England, we believe in fairies at the bottom of the garden and gremlins and goblins, and we really do. I mean, and ghosts, it just is. It's not a big deal. And I came to Toronto and looked around and for a job, and got a job on Toronto Life as their fashion editor for the first 2.5-3 years, and then from there went to the Star and earned my living as a freelance writer for 4 years after that. And then I started a PR company. I'm one of those people that never says no. You know, somebody asked me to do something, I say sure.
So when you were writing, what were you writing? Was it all fashion stuff?
I was writing fashion stuff, but also lifestyle, a lot of lifestyle and information. So I could write really about everything except finances and real estate. But everything else you could write. You know, I wrote for The Star, I wrote for En Route magazine, Homemakers magazine at that time. Did a lot of stuff. And then I opened up a PR company because one of my people I wrote about asked me to do some more work for them. And we ended up doing PR for people like the Four Seasons and Chanel and the Gold Information Center. But all the time I was learning about things such as color therapy and aromatherapy. Because in England, I'd known somebody who started the aromatherapy process.
Oh, nice.
And so I was learning about it here and in North America. And so I sort of had a tandem life, left brain, right brain, being businesslike, but also very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I didn't tell you this, but I see colors and always have done ever since I was a kid and thought everybody did.
Of course.
But when you go into business, as I did, you have to turn it off because otherwise you can see people lying and you can't tell them that. You can't say, you're not telling the truth. So eventually, I then met my second husband. And shortly after that, a very large company bought my company out. And I became a mogul with two secretaries and a huge bank account. And it was an obscene amount of money. And it was wonderful for a few years. But being the only senior woman in the corporation worldwide, actually there were two of us, was very difficult at that time. It was very diminishing. And also because I ran the Canadian offices, we had four offices in Canada, I turned down some accounts. For instance, I would not work on the tobacco industry, do PR for them. I would not work with the fur industry or the paper industry. And these are the people, of course, that spend a lot of money on public relations and lobbying. So we had to make that up, and we did, because we did good work, and it was fine. We had... but I got tired of it. I was there for 10 years, and they would literally ship me around the world to run strategic planning sessions and creative sessions, teaching people how to be more creative. So I was learning how to facilitate groups of adults and teach them, which was valuable. Anyway, I got so sick of it, it's kind of really long story short, I just left. I just had enough. I did Pierre Trudeau's walk in the snow, except I went on a mountain trek. I went into the Kootenai Mountains and had a wonderful time and came back and said, I want out. I just can't do this anymore. And left and took a year off. And Got my Reiki master. Did some exploration around if I wanted to be a massage therapist. I knew I wanted to do something that had value, had human value. And then I happened upon a hypnosis course that was taught really badly by someone who read the manual. We sat at the table, and for 9 days he read the manual. It was really tedious. But I realized after about the second day, this is what I wanted to spend my life doing, because I understood the power of it. I understood that you enable others to be magnificent, to find their own magnificence. And it's not us doing it. What we're doing is we're like ushers in the cinema or the theater. We help people find their seat. We help them find their own magnificence, because they know. They always know. It's just it's hidden under lots of dust and noise. So, and it got me so excited, literally excited, that I left that course and started the school almost immediately. I taught my first class within like 3 months of it. And it's been nonstop since then. So we've done work, as you know, on the CBC. We did a series on the CBC.
On past life.
Written a couple of public books, written a lot for the profession. And it's been nonstop for the past nearly 12 years now, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I just wouldn't. It's extraordinary, humbling, honoring work.
And you know, a lot has changed in the last 12 years.
Where yes, indeed.
We're on some major fast forward right now.
Yes,
that people
indeed.
Are really, like, they're not knowing what to do because it's just a crazy
time.
Moving
so fast. And when I started, of course, everybody went hypnosis. Are you crazy? That sort of weird stuff. And we did a lot of education. We did a lot of training of, you know, of doctors and nurses. And but now people are accepting it more. And
yeah.
Once people understand that the power of their own subconscious mind, they can keep up with themselves almost, you know. One of my dreams is to take the work to the street so street kids understand their own power. They understand
that
they have choice.
And do a self-hypnosis for them?
Self-hypnosis. And what I'd like to do, and I've spoken to Shirley MacLaine about this too, and she said if I get it started, she'll support it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is train a group, a nuclear group of kids who can teach each other.
Oh.
Because once they get it, it's powerful. You know, when I get teens in the clinic who come in with anger management skills, for instance, don't know how to manage their anger, once I show them the power of their brain, of their mind, and how they can not do something, and when you don't do something, like you don't punch a hole in the wall, it makes you more powerful than if you do. Knowing you can do it and choosing not to do it makes you very powerful.
Mm-hmm. And empowered, like it gives you a sense of self-worth. And
sense of self and understanding of how extraordinary you are. Yeah, that's the goal. That's the teaching.
That's a lovely vision.
That's the vision.
I would love to partake in that any way that we can get those kids.
What I have to do is get the structure up and running, because we can't just, you know, it's got to have social workers in, it's got to have the police involved, it's got to have some government level involved, because I can't just walk out there and say, hey kid, come over here, I want to teach you hypnosis. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be done authentically, yeah.
Okay, now You set out a name, so how do you know Shirley MacLaine?
Okay. I wasn't name dropping. I just it wasn't.
No, I could tell you honestly knew her.
Because she happened to read my first book, Return, about past life regression, and she liked it so much that she called. And actually, this is a funny story. Our office called, and I get a call from the receptionist saying Shirley MacLaine wants to interview you on Sunday on her radio show. And I said, yeah, right. And they said, no, I think it's real. So I then called back, and yes, it was real. And then they canceled it. And I thought, oh, well, you know, they know I'm Canadian and maybe I'm not that important. And, you know, you go through all that stuff. We're now talking 4 years ago. Anyway, so she called back and she said, no, I really want to do this. I want to talk to you about this book. So she did. And at that time, she asked me, because she really liked the book, she asked me if I would host her chat room once a month on hypnosis and past life regression, and I've been doing it ever since.
Nice.
So when she comes to town, if she has time, we get together, and we have a meal or just a coffee or whatever, Last time she came in, she was just in for 24 hours, so we didn't have any time. But yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman.
Yeah, I bet you've seen a lot of different people come and go in, you know, just even in your office, because you're very well known in this industry. I mean, you're very well known as the person to go to for hypnosis. And I've heard your name, as I said, for a long time.
Thank you. Yeah, we do. We have people literally from all over the world. Mm-hmm. In fact, we just got a registration today from Japan, a young woman from Japan who's coming in to take the training.
Lovely.
Because they've heard that it comes from a place of, and I think it's my business background, very similar to yours. You know, you've had business training. So you if it doesn't work, let's not do it. Let's make it pragmatic. Let's make it work. And let's make it real. And although it's spiritual work, we have to deal with this life first. And it's very feet on the ground. Let's get it right. Let's be real about this. So, yes, we have people coming from states, from obviously across Canada, but from Israel, from India, from China, to learn at the school. Mm-hmm. And as clients, get people from the states and across Canada, of course.
Yeah. And can you do it on phone?
I have a few clients on the phone. I have two in LA and one in New York, but that's because they came into the clinic before.
Okay.
I don't think it's ethical, to be honest. Other people may do it, but this is my stand. I don't think it's ethical to work with hypnosis with people you don't know.
Okay.
We don't know whether we're going to have an ab reaction, whether that something's going to happen.
True.
If they're going to slip into an early time in this lifetime that was uncomfortable. I'm not there to watch and see. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're playing bridge or poker the other end. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do that. I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you've seen them a few times.
So
and
the people I have in LA, I have two people in LA and one in New York, and both have been a longstanding client, well, longstanding, 6 months, 8 months, who I've known in Toronto, and they came to us while they were here.
Right.
And then they went down to do some work. And mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about a convention you're doing or something that you're doing in Israel?
Oh, yes. How about this? I just got goosebumps just thinking about it. Being invited to go to Jerusalem to run a past life regression training course for psychologists.
How amazing is that?
How amazing is that? The center of humanity, basically, the very beginning of time in Jerusalem. And I thought that while I'm there, I'll record my book on past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a book on tape. And so I'll be able to get the background sounds of the mezuzah and the wailing at the wall. And wouldn't that be nice?
That would be.
So I'm going to do that as well while I'm there.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Isn't that exciting, though?
It's very exciting. Just the times. It's an exciting time to be.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get excited because I can take my radio station wherever I go.
Yes.
Like I can put it in a backpack and I take it with me. So I can set up something, you know, so I think that's exciting. I mean, we're in times that it's just, we have everything at our fingertips that we can, you know, God forbid if anything ever happened to the internet or, and no, of course something can't because we rely on it just too much. And I think it is the wave of the future. I mean, everything eventually is going to move from TV to our computers
and
that whole system that we've had is going to change.
Excuse me. As long as the sun flares stay out of our way, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And the satellites keep feeding us, we'll be fine.
Yes. Which, of course, the sun flares are part of the problem. Or not part of the problem.
Situation.
They're part of the...
Project.
And part of why we're evolving. And what a cat, eh? Speaking of why you didn't want to help the fur companies, because you've got a little furry body wrapped in your lap.
Yes. So the sounds you hear are not me licking myself. Please know that. This is this little white furry thing sitting there washing himself after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And snorting,
sounding a little bit
purring.
Like
purring. He's lovely. Eyes are closed. Having a great time. Yeah.
So your show that you did on past lives.
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, that was probably pretty hectic.
That was extraordinary because I had a call from the CBC, and you know, we get a lot of calls from media who think that this is Well, not so much anymore, but I think this is hokey and it's sort of like a sideshow. So we had this call from the CBC, this producer, who said, I want to do something on past life regression. And I said, well, you know, this is serious. This is not a game. It's not a sideshow. And she said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do it Sunday morning for half an hour on the Sunday morning report. And I said, okay, well, why don't you come see me and we can talk about it. And she came, and she was lovely. Her name's Sarah Kapoor, and she's just delicious. She's a lovely, lovely lady. And she sat and talked, and as we talked, she said, you know, I think this is more than half an hour. So I said, well, I'm teaching it this weekend. Why don't you join us for the class?
Nice.
So she joined us for the class, and at the end of the class, she said, I think this is a series. So she went back to base and phoned me and said, I've got budget for 3 one-hour shows. Nice. So I was totally hands-off. They didn't want me involved in any way. They found all of the volunteers, and they didn't want me to meet them beforehand. So they found 35 volunteers and brought them in one at a time. And out of the 35, 31 went into hypnosis.
Wow.
Into past life, pardon me, into past life. And they eventually chose 10 that they could track down and validate. From that 10, they chose 3 to go on the show because they made a bit better television.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that Oprah ran.
Oh, really?
She ran a piece because Brian Weiss was on Oprah. And when he showed that piece of tape, he didn't thank me or the CBC, but he showed that piece of tape. And it was the piece that one of the people who went into past life used a different language that she wasn't used to.
Oh.
She spoke Hindi.
Oh my.
And she certainly doesn't speak Hindi in this life.
Right.
So they use that to demonstrate how it works.
How powerful.
How powerful it is, yeah. So, yes, it was amazing. And from that, I wrote the first book called Return. And the new one, The Interlife, is just out. The Life Between Lives.
Yeah. We're going to have you come back because I always like to read the book before, before I interview you on it. But I'm getting a nice feel of it. So.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to want to have you come back.
Yeah, the return book was the one, of course, that introduced me to Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how lovely is that?
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, writing a book and having
beautiful
someone like that who's, you know, just...
He validates you.
Yeah,
validates
and just a lovely, like a lovely soul who's been trying to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody thinks she's crazy because of it, but she just was so... ahead of her time.
So ahead of her time. And like, so smart.
Yeah.
She's very, very smart. Way ahead of her time. And she didn't mind being ridiculed because they don't do it anymore.
Right.
You know, because everybody's caught up with her.
Yeah.
She was way ahead of her time. Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. Absolutely extraordinary woman. And still working, of course, still very busy.
So when did this book come out?
3.5 years ago. 3 years ago.
This one?
Yeah. Oh, that one. No. Sorry. That's The Interlife. That came out this summer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just this summer and doing well. And again, got a great review from Shirley's CEO,
nice.
Britt Elders, on the back. And a lot of other people read the manuscript and really liked it. Again, it's pragmatic. It talks about what you can do, how you can break your own karmic contract.
Oh.
It gives people tools to work with in addition to talking about the subject and the history of the subject in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So really, you know, when you think 12 years isn't a long time to have become such an expert in the field, but I mean, it really must have been. I mean, have you done your own past lives to find out?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to have.
Oh, yeah.
This has to have been part of your journey to become one of the leading experts in this field.
Well, I wouldn't ask anyone to do anything I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to do your own past life.
But this must have been part of your journey. I mean, this,
yes,
have done this before because
the lovely thing is that one of the journeys validated my life because I've always been a starter. You know, I'm an Aries, so we're always a starter. We always do it first. We're always out there. And one of the past lives, I came into the life as a young boy, about 13, 14. I could see my costume still very clearly, playing an instrument that was like a pot-bellied stringed instrument in a very large, wealthy home, ladies with big hair and big skirts, big crinolines. And my job, I was an indentured servant. My job was to play music anytime they had a gathering. So I would wander amongst these ladies and play my music. Nobody listened to me. Of course, they were too busy chatting. But if I stopped, I'd get scolded. So I had to keep singing. So I started making up songs about the women. And of course, they didn't hear. I just amused myself with that. And then when I moved, got older, I was sent away into the children's playground because I guess I wasn't good looking enough to play amongst the ladies. And I played for the children.
Nice.
And I loved the children, except, of course, they didn't listen to me either because they were too busy playing. And the wisdom from my journey at that time was the music is still the music, even if no one listens.
Mm.
And that really shook me to the core. It moved me so tremendously because that is what the life has been. So if your story is important and your story is direct and from the heart and soul, even if no one listens, it's still the story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I refused to take the fur industry and the tobacco industry before anyone else was complaining about anything,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was mocking it, it took a lot of
courage
and I don't know what you'd call it, fortitude of some sort, of belief.
Balls, if you were a man.
just to keep going on it. And that wisdom that came from that past life said, right on, that's it. The music's still the music, even if no one listens. And I couldn't have thought that up. I mean, that's not a phrase that I would use,
mm-hmm.
but it came from that past life. And it applies to you. I mean, you're out there too. You're out in front, starting a radio station. You're doing new things, new ways of healing, and a lot of people may mock you, they may dismiss you, but the work is still the work, even if no one listens. I mean, that's powerful.
That is powerful.
So just know that about yourself, too.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
You know, and I mean, we talk about how there's so many of us who, you know, all think we're doing it all on our own, and we really aren't, you know. But we all get caught in our story, and we're thinking that, you know, this is our unique path and our unique story, and we're all alone, and even God's abandoned us, and which is not possible. And we go through this, you know, this time that you finally get to a place where you can go, wait a minute. That's not what's going on at all. It's just my ego that wants me to think that so that I can stay there.
Yeah. No, I think it's important that we honor and respect others that are traveling the same path. And I was talking to you a little earlier about the whole danger of spiritual bypass.
I love that.
And I was so thrilled that you believe what I do, which is what you have to deal with the issues in this life. And if you keep bypassing and going into the spirit, blaming it on karma, blaming it on something else, instead of owning your stuff and dealing with your stuff, you're wasting this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You're going to have to come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because, I mean, we have so many bypasses that we can do. I mean, we don't want to go into our emotions, so we bypass our emotions. And, you know, it's ironic when we get into a spiritual bypass, because here we are, we're wanting to actually do this work.
Yeah.
We're thinking that we're doing this work.
Yes.
And then you kind of start seeing a lot of signs that you're kind of going, well, I don't think this person is doing this work. I mean, they want, the intent is there. They're holding, unfortunately, the spiritual ego can be even tougher on us than the regular ego.
Oh, yes. Yes. And when I start a class, and I teach the hypnosis 4 times a year, and I have someone come up at the beginning of class, and they say things like, you know, Georgina, I just want to tell you I'm a very spiritual being. I say, well, that's nice. And they say, yes, but I want you to understand that I'm very spiritual. Oh, good. And I usually say we all are, you know. I had one woman who came up and said, I do a lot of spiritual work, so sometimes when I go into meditation, I go off. So I said, well, don't go off.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, I may go off when you're teaching. I said, well, don't go off, because if you go off, I mean, I started to laugh. I said, if you go off, you're going to be wasting your money.
Yeah. And you're not grounded and you're not going where you need to go.
Also, how can people going to work with you?
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to work with anybody else?
Good point.
And don't go off. Stay here.
Yeah, because this is where we are.
This is where we are.
This is where we are.
And we're blessed with having this lifetime. It's a gift.
Yeah, and I've often even about past life, because I think there's a lot of people that want to, you know, find out they're more interested in what happened in their past lives than they are about this life. I mean, it's an awesome tool to assist people to understand why they're going through something in this life from a past.
And bring the healing into it.
Yes, but to just want to go off into these past lives that, you know, we can tap into just tremendous, fabulous past lives. Yeah. But, you know, unless it's going to help. And I even had somebody, I did a past life, and she started asking questions for herself. I was like,
excuse me?
Exactly. It's like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to happen.
No.
Luckily, she was not trained by you.
No, she wouldn't have been. Because we have a code of ethics, which we've written, by the way, which a lot of schools now use. They use this code of ethics, past life code of ethics. And it is the client's journey. Nobody else's. So don't let anybody tell you what you were in a past life, because it's yours. Mm-hmm. It's home invasion if they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them do that. Mm-hmm. Be your own journey. Don't let anybody else do that. But also understand that the wisdom and the learning you get from that life is what enhances this life.
Sure.
Yeah, it gives you understanding, you know.
Yeah. Because then you can get into the whole thing of how everything is right now in the present moment anyway. So there's really no past and there's no future.
That's
and it
right.
gets very confusing because our brain in this world cannot really comprehend that.
It's all now, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, that gets just too difficult to understand. But in a way, you can understand how all of these things that are occurring that would have been in the past are really, really are impacting us now.
Yes.
But don't get lost in... And I think that's what happens is that they get these names like Mary Magdalene or, you know, Jesus, or, you know, they go in through these names. And so then they're starting to think, you know, they're starting to build up that spiritual ego because they're like, oh, I was somebody, you know.
Yeah.
And
regardless. The answer to that is you are somebody.
Of course.
You are absolutely somebody. And there's something that we call in NLP modeling. Mm. And people do that, I believe, when they take a spiritual journey as well. They find someone that they would like to be like, and they see themselves as it rather than as like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they may give themselves the name of Cleopatra or Mary Magdalene or whoever, but there must be a Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
And there must be a Cleopatra, but there's only one.
Yeah. And I think what happens is, you know, because it is part of the... energy of this planet is that you can connect in with those lives,
but
it does not mean that you were them.
Right. It's part of the universal consciousness.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fascinating. But and also when people want to pretend, I wonder what they're running away from.
Oh, yeah.
What is it that they're so either ashamed of or frightened of or angry about or disappointed in? That makes them want to be other than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
In our clinic, in my room in the clinic, I have a huge blow-up picture of a cross-section of DNA because it's magnificent. And people who have low self-esteem or who won't take responsibility and own themselves, I show them how magnificent they are, how extraordinary they are. And when they see that, how can you deny that? How can you deny that you are, as a child of God, perfect, and all of the other stuff, the dust and noise that we add on to it, is what makes us nervous, disappointed, angry, resentful, all of those things. But that picture on the wall is the purity of who you are. And you can take that and make yourself anything that you want.
It's true.
Yeah. And I give them copies of it if they need it.
Oh, nice.
Put up in the bathroom to remind them that they're magnificent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what would you say are some of the common things? And I think that's a huge problem. And I was going to say for women, but it really isn't women. It really is all around that we have somehow accepted that we're small and insignificant. Mm-hmm. And so we have self-esteem issues and we have... worthiness issues and we
never quite good enough.
Yeah
And depending on the person, but I usually try to make them laugh and I say, when was the last time you saw a dog compare his tail to another dog? You know,
that's good.
My tail's longer than yours. I mean, you know, it's not natural to do that. That's humankind's way of saying, I have more power over you, right? And parents instill that sometimes unknowingly, that you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. They don't do it knowingly, for sure. They do mm-hmm. it unknowingly. But once you understand that you can be anything you want, because we're all everything. We're all good. We're all bad. We're all stupid. We're all smart. We're all kind and unkind. It's the pieces we choose to use that make us who we are in each lifetime. And when you look at that picture of the DNA, which piece are you going to choose to use? Mm. Are you going to be a victim? Or are you going to be a hero? I mean, what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to make yourself? How are you going to create yourself? Mm-hmm. And we have that choice every morning, mm-hmm. which is so exciting.
Isn't it?
It's thrilling.
Yeah.
We actually get to choose who we are.
What other common threads do you find? I mean, spiritual bypass, low self-esteem.
Relationships.
Oh, let's talk about relationships.
Yeah. I have people who come in and say, how come I always end up with losers? And I could tell you that I get at least three times a month that comment. Just that exact comment.
Oh, my goodness.
Men and women. How come I always end up with losers?
Oh, my dear. Yes.
And I say to them, how come you choose?
And why are you saying losers?
How come you choose these people who are not good for you? What is it that you're looking for that enables you to choose people that are not good for you? Now, whether they're losers or not is just their point of view at that time. Mm-hmm. But the point is they've chosen people who are not good for them. Why? What's that about? So that's where we start with that one. Mm-hmm. And then I say, so tell me a little bit about your early life, because did you marry your mother or your father?
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. That's always a goodie.
And they don't like hearing that.
So relationships are big, for sure. Fears and phobias, of mm-hmm. course, with hypnosis, because they can go in one or two sessions and get rid of any fear or phobia in one or two sessions.
Like?
Like fear of flying, like fear of public speaking, like claustrophobia, agoraphobia. Mm-hmm.
If you can get them into the center, you can help them with agoraphobia.
Sorry?
If you can get them into the center, you can help them with agoraphobia.
Actually, we had one client who came in, and she was crouched on the floor of a car. Oh. Her husband had to drive her in.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Fear of spiders, fear of snakes, all of that. Very easy to get rid of. Yeah, because all the patterns are in your subconscious mind.
Right.
So it's just a habit, just a pattern.
Now, you mentioned that you also do NLP. Mm-hmm. And now, did you do the hypnotherapist first?
Yes.
Hypnotherapy first, yes. And then NLP as a complement to
yes.
it.
Yes, yes, because we find NLP works, but it works better when you're in hypnosis.
Yes.
Because you're allowing the conscious mind to be put aside and you're getting right to the core. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it works really well. Mm-hmm. Especially with regression work that's fast. You know, you need to get back to age 12 very quickly without feeling the damaging emotions, just to deal with the issue. Works brilliantly.
Yeah. Timeline.
Yeah, timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite tools. I love it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Because it's easy and because people don't feel threatened and they don't feel in danger with it.
Right.
And I don't have to know what the issue is. They can just deal with it in their own mind.
Oh. Yeah.
So they don't have to talk it if it's painful.
Right.
It's really good.
It is. I guess that would be a benefit of, well, doing any hypnotherapy, really.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to get caught up in their story. Or
no.
They get to do it all themselves.
That's right. Yeah. The only time I really need to hear is if we're doing past life regression or life between lives, because I'm guiding them.
Right.
So, yeah. And spirit and entity release we do as well. So
talk
I need
about
to know that.
That.
Sometimes people will come in, I'll give you an exact example. About 2 years ago, I had a client phone and said, I hope you can help me. For the last few months, I've been hearing this 12-year-old voice, boy's voice, telling me what to do. And my doctor tells me I have schizophrenia, but I don't think I do. So And we're very careful because we have to be very careful. We're not medically trained, so we have to be very cautious. So I asked her a lot of questions on the phone, and it turned out that she'd been hearing this voice since she'd had surgery.
Oh, dear.
So she came into the clinic, and in under hypnosis, I found out that the voice, the 12-year-old, was part of the split soul of the surgeon who operated on her.
Isn't that interesting?
Because the surgeon was living a life that this child did not approve of.
Oh.
No, children can be very judgmental. So because this surgeon had a mistress and was partying, this split soul decided to leave. And this woman was the second person, second host he'd taken on. And the other one, somehow he'd left the other one. I never did find out why. So we came to an agreement that he would go home because he had no business doing this. But only after he'd spent a week longer, because he really liked being with this woman because she was nurturing and kind and honorable. He was very judgmental, this kid. So the three of us had this discussion, the child, the woman, and myself, while this woman was in hypnosis, about what she was going to teach him and how she was going to teach him to be self-sufficient and all of that. And the following week she came back and she'd spent some time talking with him and negotiating with him. And we arranged for him to leave and go back home. And it was very different because most of the time we send entities or energies into the light. This case, we had to send it home to the soul of this surgeon.
Oh.
And
would
she was
that
fine
still
after
not
that,
be
of course.
Kind of in the light? But
well,
just
no,
a
we had, it was a one-way tunnel, interestingly enough. Instead of going up, it was a tunnel that went directly back to him. But we made sure it closed off the door as he went back because we didn't want him to.
Because he was part of that soul and he
part
needed
of that
to
soul.
Stay.
It was a splintered
soul.
We do soul retrieval work as well. So that surgeon, that man, has a splintered soul. And obviously, I don't know where the other pieces are. But certainly that, yeah. So she was fine after that, obviously.
And I wonder how he is. I mean, something like that would probably impact him
of course.
Unconsciously, but
yeah.
It
well,
would
people
impact
do
him.
Have splintered souls, you know, through trauma, as you know, the soul can be splintered.
Sure.
So whether it's trauma at birth or trauma in another lifetime, your soul can
in that case, though, would have been something that happened to him at 12?
May well have been.
You didn't really go into that
because I didn't because
been his
it's not my
or your business. Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question because I had that argument with Shirley as well. She asked me if I deal with people who have implants from UFOs and ETs. And I said, yes. So she said, well, where do they come from? I said, I don't care where they come from. I just get rid of them. She said, well, don't you want to know about the who put them there? I said, no, I don't care. Because or my job is to help the client heal.
Yeah.
And she got very pissy about it because she's innately curious.
Yeah.
So she would have spent all the time talking to the ET about where they're from and why they did it and the research they were doing. Not my business. My business is to get rid of it, tell the guys to take it away. You know, this is a planet of free will. It doesn't belong here. Out of here. So same with this. It's not my job to worry about the surgeon's splintered soul. My job is to help my client.
Unless the surgeon comes to
Unless
you,
the surgeon
it's not.
Comes to me.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Of course. Yeah. And so that, I mean, so you really do have a code of ethics, which I think there's some people in the field that, you know, in our field, regardless of what it is, that, you know, may take their curiosity to a different level.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I mean, I guess it's part of their own karma that they have to sort of deal with and understand. And you know, even that, like you were talking about how you come from the heart. I mean, I've met a lot of people that seem to come from the solar plexus. And so their energy and how they deal with this healing type work is very different. Yes. And it's very, you know, they're usually the ones that are very focused on material things and very focused on, you know, the law of attraction and the creation process, but from a very, you know, from a very different perspective than me.
Yeah.
Like I just, you know, when it comes to, you know, success, I have a very different view of what success means.
Right.
To me, it's about, you know, personal happiness and joy and living, the life that I envision, and
it's
not
a fulfillment. Isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah, for sure.
And just, you know, very loving and heart nurturing, and that's who I am. So it's just been an interesting observation, because it took me a while to figure it out why they were so different and why they would have this, you know, very hard edge to them. And it's like, oh, that's because they're not coming from the heart.
Right.
And that there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And I think, you know, each way can lead us to where we want to go.
Sure.
But it is very different.
Yeah, it is very different. But ethics, we are very strong in the clinic on ethics. For instance, we refer out a lot. So if someone comes to the clinic who has an issue that we feel is beyond our training, we refer out. You know, there are some people who think they can handle everything. We know we can't handle anything. We're not trained to handle everything. We may do part of the work. For instance, people come in with abuse issues, sexual abuse issues. We can help them with the pain, and help them deal with the issue, help remove the shame or whatever it is they're carrying. But they may still need to see a therapist to talk it through and to work it through. And we know that.
Yeah.
And we say so.
Yeah.
Ethics are very important. It's such a loosey-goosey profession. We have to be very careful to keep the standard high.
Yeah.
My belief.
No, and I think that's very honorable. Because I think that's, you know, I think that is what's needed. And I do think, you know, people need to be able to say, you know what, this is not, you know, this is not something I can do.
Right.
I mean, you need to be able to do that. And then you need to be able to know who you can
refer to. Refer to. For sure. And we always make it our fault. You know, it's I wish I could help you, but you know, I'm not trained. I just don't have that training. I can help you with this piece, but I can't help you with that. So let me give you some names of a couple of people that I think can help you.
Yeah.
And always come back if you, you know, we leave the door open, but you've got to be so careful. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
especially when you deal with that. And then there's a lot of that type of abusive and energy out there, and you know, they're the ones, and I guess it goes back to what Eckhart Tolle says about, you know, if you haven't had trauma in your life, like if you don't have something that's pushing you forward, you're not going to grow.
Right.
So we all have our unique experiences, and they're all so unique to us that, you know, I know a lot of people that start comparing. It's like, well, how can you compare? I mean, because our own life experience is so unique to us.
That's,
I mean,
you can't compare.
And you can't try and tell somebody that it's, you know, well, what you've gone through is nothing to compare to
That's
I've gone through.
It's
like, you know, sometimes it helps put things in perspective, but I mean, really?
No.
Like, we get so competitive on everything.
It's really funny. Yeah. You think your divorce is bad, you should hear about mine.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And of course, everything's different. Just because we've gone through the same thing that maybe the client has doesn't mean, say, we go through it the same way.
No.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
That's what makes it wonderful.
So talk about the times and how everything is changing and going so quickly. How is that impacting
your... Oh, my goodness. First of all, at the most prosaic level, I don't know what happened to July and August. At the very basic level, time is moving at such a pace that you literally have to think something and it appears. We manifest quicker. We, both good and bad. People are winging out, becoming frantic about things that... are really irrelevant from my perspective, and yet others of the most unexpected people are finding their spirituality in their soul. CEOs of banks and insurance companies.
Nice.
And most extraordinary people are coming in wanting to know more about themselves. I had a gentleman came in a few months ago who said, after our last session, Georgina, I'm going to tell you something. I think you're going to think I'm nuts. And I said, probably not.
Yeah.
and he said, well, when I look at trees now, I really see trees. So I said, yeah. He said, no. I mean, I see trees. When I look at trees, I can see the roots. I can see the trunk and how it goes into the branches and the leaves. And I said, perfect. Now you're really seeing the connection. Perfect. He said, that's okay. I said, of course it's okay. Just don't tell the board members. Yeah. But yes, of course it's okay. But that's the sort of changes that are happening at unexpected levels.
Mm-hmm.
People are beginning to see light. They're beginning to feel vibrations. People are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, time is moving a lot faster.
How do you think it's going to, is it going to just continue getting faster until we hit 2012? I mean, I know that it's not just 2012. I mean, it's supposed to be a series of, close to 70 years where this energy is going to be like this. And one channeler we had said, really has something to do with the sun flares and that we haven't had this energy available since 350,000 years ago when Atlantis was here. And it's the vibration. Energy. It's part of the planetary alignments that's going on, and that's what is speeding everything up.
The whole shift is changing.
Yeah.
But our vibration is changing too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but there are some days where I feel I'm not in my body, and you have to consciously put yourself back in to do the work.
I think I forget that part. I just think, oh, isn't this nice? Wait a minute, I'm in my heart, but I don't think I'm in my feet.
In your body. Yeah. I keep bumping into doors and things, thinking I can walk through them. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
But it'll be soon, an interesting day, though.
Soon, very soon.
Mine's flying.
No, but certainly the time is speeding up. It's almost like it's one of those old movies where the clock goes forward very fast,
Yeah.
You're not sure where the day went, where the week went. But also we're getting more done. We're accomplishing more. We're connecting more with others. We're allowing more. I think there's an ethic that's coming through with the dark and the light, dark getting darker and the light getting lighter. I think that we're getting more done. We're reaching out more. The connecting of the light to ourselves and to each other is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you find this, that when you send a message out there, people will receive it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they had a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think they say we've already passed that halfway point where, there's now more light than darkness. Mm-hmm. And, that it's really, but then the dark's getting scared. I mean, that aspect of even our shadow sides,
we have to stay centered. We have to stay, especially with the news that's going on now about the economics and everything. We have to remember what's important and what resilient beings we are.
Yeah.
And we're here. We're meant to be here. And if we're not meant to be here, we'll be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Yeah.
And once we understand that we're here to do something, and once it's done, we'll go off somewhere and do what we're to do next.
Now, has anybody ever wanted to do a future life where they've tried to find out what's going to be happening at 2012 or where they're going to be going or anything where they're trying to figure out, who they're going to become or...
Yes, and interestingly enough, I won't do it very often because a lot of people are doing it for the wrong reason.
Right.
My perception. But the people that have done it go way into the future.
Okay.
Where they are just energy.
Oh, lovely.
So we're all energy. It's just, we don't need anything else. What we're doing is nurturing and healing and making magic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just spreading light and...
So they're being part of the one, and being are they the still one. Having their individual experiences?
Less and less, but more to do with taking lights to other galaxies, because we were inhabited by others that were way ahead of us. So our turn comes to help other galaxies too.
Right, right. Well, that's exciting.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we get... points when we travel.
Brownie points.
Yeah. Never mind, brownie points. What about air miles?
Oh, air miles. Okay.
You get to choose to go somewhere warm. Yeah. Not hot, but warm.
Yeah. Done the hot.
Not too hot, but just warm. Yeah. So.
And what about, do people look into this global warming stuff? Do people look, are they concerned? Is there anybody that... where it's part of their journey to assist with that kind of stuff, do they?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people, we get a lot of people from the financial district who are coming in very concerned about...
Oh, yeah, the economic situation.
About their future, about their... and interesting enough, when they come in starting to be stressed about the financial part of it, and by the end of two or three sessions, they're beginning to understand that they are more than that.
Mm,
and once they understand they're more than that, then they look at their family and they look at their children with a new respect and a new understanding that it doesn't matter really what goes on outside. Of course it matters about can you keep your house?
Yes.
But ultimately it's can you have a roof over your head and can you feed each other and take care of each other?
Wow.
That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
And if I told them that on the first visit, they'd have thought, oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But they come to that at the end of the third or fourth visit.
On their own,
mm-hmm.
which is lovely.
Yeah.
Mm. Are there any interesting stories that you're not going to say names, but of things that you found just really different or unique? Or?
Oh, I have one, in fact, that is going to appear in Michael Newton's next book. And... this was such a gift. I had a call a couple of years ago from a man who said, can you help my wife remember something? And I said, absolutely I can. We do it a lot. You know, she mm-hmm. lost the ring or whatever. And he said, no, she'll tell you. So she came in, and she was one of these delicious little bouncy ladies who, full of life, teaches line dancing to seniors. You know,
full of
life and vitality and big heart. And I said, come on in, what can I do for you? So she said, well, I want to know who I am. I said, what do you mean? So she said, well, I was about 17. We don't know. I found myself sitting on a bench in a park with bruises and scratches. No identity. I didn't know who I was. And I was so frightened, I started to cry, and this woman came up to me and said, can I help you? Anyway, to cut a long story short, she took her home and kept her for a few weeks. They went to the police. There was no report of anything.
Oh, my goodness.
So this woman, you know, helped her find an apartment, helped her find a job, and she got herself a job as a dancing teacher at the Arthur Murray Dance School because she knew she liked to dance. She found that out. And there she met her husband, and the two of them connected and fell in love, got married, and have been married ever since. And that was 17, this 18. She's now in her early 60s. They found they couldn't have children because she'd had a hysterectomy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
before 18?
Yes. So her husband, or boyfriend, fiancé then, but husband, started to do some research and see if they could find out who she was. They went to Interpol, that she had her fingerprints taken. They did everything they could. Could never find out anything. They'd hired lawyers. They'd hired all sorts of people.
Wow.
The reason she wanted to know now is that she needed heart surgery. Oh. She needed to have a pacemaker put in, and she was a little concerned, and she wanted to know who she was. So we started to do some regression work. She got back to age 12, and she wouldn't go back any further. She started to panic, and she wouldn't do it. So she came out of hypnosis, and she said, I just can't, and she was crying. So I said, I'll tell you what, you're going into surgery. Why don't we do some work around the surgery and make your soul and your energy part of the team with the surgical team, and you heal fast, and we'll do that. So we did that, and she loved it, and she walked out of there laughing and smiling. So great. 6 weeks later, she called back and said, I'm ready to come back. I'm dancing again. 6 weeks, right?
Wow.
I'm ready to come back. 6 weeks. I'm ready to do it. So we came back, and I said, we're going to do it slightly differently. Is that okay with you? Absolutely. So I took her beyond the womb into the interlife. And brought her into the womb and into birth. So we came in backwards.
Yes.
And she knew who she was. She knew she was one of six children. She got two of her sister's names. She got her father's name. She brought herself out of hypnosis. She was so excited. And she said, I've got to go tell John. I've got to tell John. So they ran out. And he said, I'll catch you later, Georgina. They literally ran home. He did his research on the internet. They phoned me a week later. She was crying. She said, I've got something to read to you. This is from a woman who says, I think I'm the sister you've been looking for.
Oh.
Anyway, they did a DNA test, and yes, they were sisters.
Oh.
The sister came to Toronto, and she wanted me to meet the sister. And I met them for lunch, and they looked like two peas in a pod. They're like bookends. They were exactly the same. And every time she goes away now, because she had to get documentation, they couldn't travel before. She didn't have any documentation. Had no passport, no birth certificate.
Oh, wow.
Right? So every time she got some documentation, she found out, by the way, she was from the States. She came from the States. So she's now an American citizen and a Canadian citizen. Every time she gets something, she phones or sends me an email. So when she goes to England, she sends me an email. So it's a delicious story. So that's the sort of work you can do with hypnosis and regression work.
What a lovely story. But did she find out why she had a hysterectomy? Was that an error?
I did not. Again, I didn't ask. It's not my business.
Right.
I didn't ask. And yes, the journalist in me would like to know, but I don't ask. If she volunteered it,
of course,
fine. But she has met some of the other family.
Wow.
She's
happy about it. So
thrilled. They're so happy to have her back. What I did find out that the mother was an alcoholic, the father was a drug addict, and she remembered being cold and frightened and hungry on that first regression. But beyond that, I didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Not my business.
Mm-hmm.
It's her right to be who she is. If she wanted to tell me, trust me, she would have done by now.
Yeah.
She told me everything else.
Yeah. What a great story.
Isn't that a lovely story?
It really is.
Yeah. She found a whole new life, a whole new family.
Wow. To imagine, though, that would be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't know the trauma yet that caused her to forget.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Oh, she does.
I'm sure she does.
Okay.
She does. Yeah, but I haven't asked.
Does this allow her to remember everything?
They've got photographs. She sends me photographs that her sister sent her of them as a family when they were kids.
Oh.
And
so she remembered everything after that first.
Well, once she's spoken to her sister,
things came back.
The sister's beginning to feed it back, and she's beginning to see photographs, and it's beginning to come back. Yeah. But this is now, last time I saw her was about a year ago. We've spoken since because I asked for permission to put the story in the book with changing her name,
mm-hmm.
Which I got. And and again, she keeps sending me these emails. Just came back from England. Thanks to you, Georgina. I'll never forget you. Yeah, that sort of thing. Lovely.
And that's two sessions, I mean.
Two sessions.
Yeah.
Two sessions.
Changed her life.
Yeah. But that's because she allowed it.
Of course.
She had to allow it.
She had to allow it.
And he'd been on the internet, but he didn't know what to look for before.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quite amazing.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your school or when your next classes are coming up?
Sure. Or? Thank you. We have classes coming up in December. I'm teaching in December the basic hypnosis class. It's 3 days over 3 weekends. So it's 9 days. And it's a 100-hour course.
Nice.
And we train social workers and massage therapists, nutritionists, doctors, nurses, general public who want to learn it.
You keep saying social workers. Did you know that I was in social work?
No, but these are people who use it a lot, right? Because they run groups with it and all sorts of things. Psychologists, psychiatrists.
Right.
Anybody who wants to learn it for themselves or for other people to learn how to do it. And once you've learned that, then you can learn past life regression and hypnosis for pain management, hypnosis for birthing, hypnosis for children, hypnosis of gestalt. We use gestalt.
And what would you do with children differently?
Oh, it's totally different because children, first of all, don't have the attention span.
Of course.
And one of my colleagues teaches it at our school. Her name is Barb Keshen, and she's absolutely brilliant. She works with children who do ADD and ADHD, and she's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I bring in teachers from literally around the world because I don't think I could teach everything really well. So I bring in someone to teach NLP. I bring in someone to teach gestalt. I bring in someone to teach stage hypnosis and hypnosis for... Sean Gallagher teaches hypnosis for pain management.
Nice.
So we bring in teachers who are really good to teach that. But you need the basic first.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I teach the past life regression and the life between lives. And this weekend, running a course on spirit and entity release.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. And hypnosis for diabetes, how to manage the body, healing around diabetes.
And do you help people with healing as well? Like, is that part of, I mean, that's a big part of hypnosis, right?
The healing, yes, yes. In fact, I have a CD that was literally channeled in. I don't remember doing it. And we've had such extraordinary results with it worldwide. Eardrums repaired. A kidney transplant that was rejected became accepted. A lot of that type of thing with that CD, it is absolutely a blessing. It's unbelievable. And I listen to it, I think, well, that's pretty good. Because I didn't do it.
Right.
It literally got channeled in, that one.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's a good CD. Then we got others on forgiveness and dumping the junk and fear of flying and self-esteem. Exercise, weight loss, smoking, all of the regular hypnosis things as well.
Do you find that that's a, we're going over time, but do you find that that's a, I think there are a lot of people that come for smoking and weight loss, yes?
That's the beginning. Yeah. They come in, they say they want to quit biting their nails, and then you find out what they're really here for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people can go on our website and see what it is we have there.
And your website is?
www.OntarioHypnosisCenter.com.
There you go, which is a good name, easy to remember.
Yeah.
Well, it's been quite a pleasure. I've really enjoyed this evening.
Well, thank
and
you.
I definitely want to get you back, and we'll talk about discovering the interlife, because that sounds like it would be very interesting. So I'm looking forward to having you back.
Thank you very, very much. But I'll only come back if I can have this pussycat sitting on my lap.
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Folks, you should see this white, soft, gorgeous, loving little animal here who's sitting and grunting and purring and moaning on my lap. It's quite beautiful.
He is.
There
He's
you go.
Quite a joy.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.